When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and matching technology that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 75% of employers claim Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other online job sites, leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences daily. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Join today by heading to Indeed.com/podcasts11 and get a £100 sponsored job credit. That's Indeed.com/podcasts11. Terms and conditions apply.
The Oddity News.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Oddity News here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. My name is Dave Wirtz, and with me, as always, is the person who keeps me regular when my bowels don't want to work. We call him something different. It's X Benedict, also known as PC Tunney. Tunney, how are you doing?
I'm doing better than Aiden Hutchinson. I'm watching on my TV right now.
Yeah, woof.
Ouch, you,
that poor leg is gone.
It's in two pieces.
Well, as always here at the Oddity News, we like to bring you the fun and the levity of the week. The lighthearted news affairs of people that are like unintentionally hysterical or downright ridiculous, just to be honest. And to this week is no exception. We are going to start off with one of the stories that I have. Officers on Tuesday night stopped a man and a woman driving a stolen car in southeast Portland. And they found much more than a stolen car, Portland Police Bureau said. When officers pulled over said vehicle, Mia Rochelle Bagenstoss, 37, and Reginald Lamont Reynolds, age 35, near Southeast 162nd and Division, they searched that car and discovered loads of cash, a loaded revolver, scales with a bag attached to it. And that bag had a sign said, quote, "Definitely not a bag full of drugs," unquote, printed on the outside. When the police opened the bag, they did find, though, that there were drugs inside. That's the entire story. It's just a bag that says "definitely not drugs" with drugs inside of it. Portland, you guys, you know what? At least you made it easy.
Stay classy, Portland. I seen this. I seen the picture of the bag and everything laid out. It's pretty hilarious.
It's pretty straightforward, yeah.
all right. Well, how about getting attacked by cauliflower? Dave, you want to hear about someone getting attacked by cauliflower?
Please do.
A grocery shopper in the United Kingdom was reportedly knocked unconscious after a discounted cauliflower fell on her head. Sammy May, a resident of Kingston-upon-Thames, England, told GB News that she was recently browsing a discount rack at a Waitrose grocery store in Bath when the vegetable hit the back of her head. "Suddenly, a really large and heavy item fell down on the top of my head and hit my head," the shopper recalled. "I fell, and when I woke up, I was suffering from a concussion and was knocked out." Cauliflowers tend to weigh around 2 pounds, and May says the brassica fell between 4 and 6 feet, hitting her in the head. May later told The Sun that she is still experiencing a variety of symptoms from neck pain to anxiety, and that the incident has had a damaging impact on her health. She said she is considering legal action against the chain. "I was very unwell, and I'm still suffering and unable to work. I don't know how the cauliflower fell, but They should not store heavy, roundish items like that on the top shelf. The staff just put it back on the top shelf, so they were not treating the incident seriously, she added. Waitrose told Fox News Digital that they were aware of the situation and that the shopper received medical assistance at the time. Our customer was seen immediately by a trained first aider at the time of the accident, and we're sorry to hear she is unwell, a company spokesperson said. We take customer safety incredibly seriously and have thoroughly invested this case, but will consider any new information she wishes to share with us. Fox News medical contributor Dr. Mark Siegel told Fox News Digital that, though a significant brain injury is unlikely to have resulted from the incident, anything's possible.
Yeah, this is very similar to what happened to me. I was at a Walmart, and I did have a bunch of toilet paper fall on me. And at the end, I suffered soft tissue damage.
Badoom. I mean, were you normal before that, or have you always been this way?
No. This has always been me. I will not blame anyone else for the way that I act, and I'm proud of it. Damn it!
Sometimes
I feel like we just have this podcast so that way we can tell puns back and forth to each other.
it's a punny good time.
You know what? You are correct. Absolutely. Okay. You know what? I'm going to take your issue with food, and I'm going to up you a little bit. As a rare bear meat gathering has caused 10 people to have quite a scare. If you're going to eat a bear, make sure it's not rare. You'd be forgiven for thinking that once the beast has been subdued, all danger has passed. But you might still be in for quite a scare. The animal's flesh can be riddled with encased worm larvae, which, upon being eaten, will gladly reproduce in your innards and let their offspring roam the rest of your person, including invading your brain and heart. Well, guess what? This happened the other week in this week's issue. Health officials in North Carolina reported that rare bear meat were served at a gathering where at least 22 people ate said meat and at least 10 developed symptoms of worm infection. Of the 10, though, 6 were kids and teenagers between the ages of 10 and 18. The infection is from the roundworm, which causes trichinellosis. While the infection is rarely fatal, the nematodes tend to burrow out of the bowels and meander through the body, embedding in whatever muscle tissue they come across. Telltale signs of an infection is facial swelling caused when the larvae take harbor in the muscles of the face and around the eyes. Of the 10 ill people in North Carolina, though, 9 of them had facial swelling. Local health officials were onto the outbreak when one person developed flu-like symptoms and puzzling facial swelling. They then traced it back to that gathering. The report doesn't specify what kind of gathering it was, but noted that 34 attendees in total were surveyed, from which they found the 22 people who ate the rare bear meat. 10 people found with symptoms are technically considered only probable cases because the infections were never diagnostically confirmed. Yes. So that is basically the moral of the story, don't eat rare bear meat, because North Carolina officials noted that thousands of bears are harvested in that state every year and suggest that surveying wild game for trichinella infections might be a good idea.
I have no intentions of ever eating bear meat, but I don't know.
Not raw?
No.
I don't know why you would eat it raw. What's the point?
I don't know. Maybe someone thought they were being a fancy culinary expert when they didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
I have had bear meat before. It's very gamey, but I will tell you, it was cooked, and I'm not going to lie. I mean, you try it once, and you're fine. It's not something I'm seeking out on a regular basis, and certainly not doing the whole carnivore sandwich deal with it, you know, like us Wisconsinites know all too well.
steer clear of rare bear, right?
Yeah, the whole article had like a weird Dr. Seuss vibe to it with all the all the airs and rhymes that were going on.
Well, let's scale it down a little bit from a bear to some turtles. A woman from China pled guilty on Friday to attempting to smuggle 29 eastern box turtles, a protected species, across a Vermont lake into Canada by kayak. Wan Yi, 41, was arrested on the morning of June 28th at an Airbnb in Canaan as she was, as she was about to get into an inflatable kayak with a duffel bag on Lake Wallace, according to a Border Patrol agent's affidavit filed in federal court. Agents have been notified by Royal Canadian Mounted Police that two other people, including a man who is believed to be her husband, had started to paddle an inflatable watercraft from the Canadian side of the lake towards the United States, according to court documents. The agents searched her heavy duffel bag and found 29 live eastern box turtles individually wrapped in socks, the affidavit states. Eastern box turtles are known to be sold on the Chinese black market for $1,000 each. Her cell phone was seized, and a search by law enforcement found communications showing that she tried to smuggle the turtles into Canada so that they could eventually be sold for profit in Hong Kong. According to the plea agreement, she is from Hong Kong and was living in Canada. That doesn't sound like a big enough payout for me to go scamper around and get all these turtles and bring them across borders. And that's a really long payoff. That's going to go all the way over to Hong Kong now.
Hey, man, that's $29,000 right there.
Well, I would imagine her fines are going to be way more than that.
Yeah, I mean, let's just be real. There's going to be some jail time, baby. It's going to be rough.
What are they using these turtles for in Hong Kong anyway?
I'm not sure. How many times have we heard these stories of fill-in reptile or amphibian being smuggled into China? It's always the reptiles and or amphibians, too. Or it's like tarantulas or some shit like that. You don't see them trying to smuggle in, you know, like a monkey or anything. Or, like, I guess there's monkeys in China. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like armadillos.
She's scheduled to be sentenced in December and faces up to 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000.
Oh, yeah. See, she could just get a lot more turtles and pay that off.
They think that source of income has come to an end. But what is only halfway through fruition is this show. I think it's a good time to take our first and only commercial break right here. You're listening to Dave Wirtz and PC Tunney right here on The Oddity, which is found on the ChairShot.com and ChairShot Radio Network. Don't forget about ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot as well. It is gift-giving season coming up, and all those shirts make a great gift as opposed to a pack of socks or another tie. So check it out, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. We shall return.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back to The Oddity. We have more stories, and let's get some more topical events around. I mean, it's voting season, political season. And if you think that we're not going to have some political fun, I think you're sadly mistaken. Former Green Beret running for the House of Representatives in Virginia named Derek Anderson, as reported by the New York Times, has repeatedly featured a woman and her three daughters in campaign materials. One photo features the group posing close together in an image that you could probably find framed on a grandmother's mantle. The type of photo that your parents made your uncle with a DSLR camera, because, quote, we never get nice pictures together, end quote. Well, in one campaign video, Anderson is seen walking side by side with the same woman. And in another, which is featured on the National Republican Campaign Committee's website and on his YouTube channel, it shows Anderson speaking to the woman and the three girls while seated in a home dining room table. According to the Times, however, the women and girls are the wife and children of a longtime friend to Mr. Anderson. And Anderson's campaign website does not mention a wife or children, but notes that he, quote, lives in Spotsylvania County with his dog, Ranger, a Dalmatian. The Republican candidate recently revealed on social media that he is engaged to his girlfriend, Maggie, and has posted pictures of her. She is decidedly not the woman featured in the photos and videos, however. A spokesperson for Anderson told the Times that Derek's opponent and every other candidate in America are in similar pictures and video with supporters of all kinds, adding that the content in question simply featured a female supporter and their kids. It's weird, but then again, so is the rest of the parties. Yeah, nothing like having some faux families or second families. Who knows?
That's just a weird fucking story.
Right? I'm not saying anything about how you want to vote. That is entirely your choice. But you can't deny that just taking random photos with a family friend's wife and kids. There's definitely some staging, if you would.
Oh, man. Just the situation you really don't want to be in, you know? Speaking of situations you're not wanting to be in, and folks, do yourself a favor and look up on the old Google machine on your phone or computer the Bath and Body Works snowed in candle. Search an image of that, because let me tell you, this had to get pulled off of shelves. Bath and Body Works, not dreaming of a white Christmas, pulls candle with KKK hood-like design. Bath and Body Works is scrambling to remove a holiday candle off its shelves after the packaging was compared to hoods worn by the Ku Klux Klan. Now, before I continue reading the story, Aesop and I have both seen this, and you instantly see exactly what they're talking about. This is a,
yes.
This is like a candle, you know, with the wrap around it is red with like a white snowflake over a red background, but this is like one of those snowflakes that you like cut with a scissors after you fold the paper, right? And when you open it up, there's little designs inside of it, and on the outside of the snowflake, kind of like the outer petals, each petal looks like a Ku Klux Klan hood, folks. You cannot unsee it when you see it.
Well, I mean, the worst part is the circles.
Yeah.
That are in there as well. Right. I mean, they look like eye holes. If it didn't have those circles,
right,
maybe you could have passed it off, but yeah,
it's bad.
The fact that there's two circles, it's pretty obvious.
The candle went viral Tuesday when an X user posted a screenshot of the product, which showed the snowed-in scent featuring a snowflake design set against a red backdrop. However, it didn't take long for users to compare the print to the infamous KKK hoods, as they too are all white with printed tops, with pointed tops and tiny holes cut into them. Critics quickly called for the candle to be canceled and for those behind the controversial product to be fired. The company is now seeing the big picture, offering up mea culpa for the inadvertent offensive home decor. How many people does that get past? You know, they had to have known. Like, oh, someone said, yeah, let's just see what happens. This is going to be hilarious.
Again, that goes through so many different channels.
Right.
Right? It's at least five, and I mean, chances are it's way more than that. If it's Bath and Body Works, I would venture to guess it's probably closer 10 to 20. You know what I mean? No one catches these things is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, there's a marketing department. There is an art department. This has to go be approved to go to a press, and then it has to be approved to come back and put on the actual product. There is so many channels here. It is
like you said, a marketing department that definitely has an editor as well, as because they're running through, you know, different ads and such. And then you just have to be like, oh, we're going to stage this product as well. And then it's like, oh, look at this. Excuse me? So bad.
Very bad.
So bad.
Very.
Oh, good Lord. And speaking of bad, someone had gained access to the Ecovax D-Bot X2 Omni robotic vacuums across several U.S. cities earlier this year and used them to chase pets and yell racial slurs at their owners, reported ABC News in Australia this week. The outlet spoke with multiple D-Bot X2 owners who say that their D-Bot X2s had been hacked in May, including Minnesota lawyer Daniel Swenson, who said he was watching TV with his family when a noise like a broken up radio signal started coming from the robot speaker. He said after he reset his password and rebooted the robot, it began again. Only this time, the sound was clearly a voice, a teenager's voice, yelling slurs. ABC News lists other similar accounts from an owner in El Paso and Los Angeles, the latter of which involved someone using a D-Bot to antagonize a dog, yelling at it and chasing it around a room. Ecovax told the outlet in a statement that it had, quote, identified a credential stuffing event and blocked the IP address from its originated form. And the company said it found no more evidence that usernames and passwords were collected by the attackers. Researchers demonstrated a flaw last year that let them bypass the D-Bot X2's PIN entry to gain access to the vacuum. Ecovax says in its statement that it has resolved that and that it also plans to further enhance security with an update in November. It's not clear, however, whether that would correct a Bluetooth vulnerability that ABC News exploited for a report earlier this month. Cloud-connected smart home devices have led to stories like this for years now, and sometimes it's the result of hacks, others simply compromised credentials. But all we know is that the security vulnerabilities are still present, and we should be expecting more of these stories in the future.
Well, that's good for us. Bad for these people who own these vacuums.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Marino could make the radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Marino and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Yeah, you know what? I use my handy-dandy broom, and it works great. And I don't have that thing just cussing at me or saying anything racially motivated. And you know what? It may make for a slow sweeping day, but I feel a lot better once I'm finished.
What? How bored and how much of a, like, a sophomoric douchebag do you have to be to do this, A? And B, I actually like the videos of the pets that become symbiotic with these vacuums and, like, get on them and travel around with them, you know, and use them as transportation. We've all seen those videos, so, you know.
It's all cats, Tony. We already know. It's not like other pets. It's cats just being fat and lazy.
Have you ever seen the cat that has that that in its house has a turtle on a skateboard?
Yes.
That is hilarious.
I know exactly the one.
Yes.
Yeah.
The cat is just like, what the fuck is going on here? And that turtle has experiencing confidence it hadn't in its species for a million years.
Speed. Yeah, speed.
Like, the way that thing whips around, it's pretty sweet. All right.
Tony, you have an obituary that you wanted to read for us.
I did.
That is something to highlight.
Well, this is from 11 plus years ago, but I came across it on social media and I thought it was really interesting, especially if you are a fan of The Simpsons.
Oh.
Margaret Ruth Groening died peacefully in her sleep on April 22, 2013 in Portland. Born Margaret Wiggum on March 23, 1919 in Chisholm, Minnesota, Margaret was 94 years old. Margaret's parents, Matt and Ingeborg Wiggum, met on the boat coming to America from Norway. They settled in Everett, Washington, where the paper mill smelled like money and Matt worked as a machinist. As high school valedictorian and Miss Everett, Margaret's highest honor was being named May Queen of Linfield College. She graduated from Linfield in 1941 and married classmate Homer Groening, who she chose because he made her laugh. Margaret taught high school English before starting a family, and her love of language was apparent in the many double cross-sticks she completed in ink. Margaret and Homer supported the Oregon Symphony, the Portland Trailblazers, and many local yarn shops. Margaret was a talented needlework artist. Besides Homer, Margaret was preceded in death by her oldest daughter, Patty, who died in late January. She is survived by her brother, Arnold, her children, Mark, Matt, Lisa, and Maggie, 8 children, and 2 great-grandchildren. The family thanks the wonderful caregivers from Visiting Angels and the hospice nurses from House Call Providers. Special appreciation also goes to loyal friend Grace Clark. But we get Wiggum out of here. We get Lisa and Maggie out of here. We get Homer and his personality of making people laugh out of here. I have been a Simpsons fan as long as I can remember. I can remember watching it when it debuted on the Tracy Ullman show as a very young boy. But it's really just kind of a cool little thing to me that I think if you dug deeper into a lot of creators, especially of these kind of mediums, whether it's a great animated series or a movie or something like that, they pull a lot from their own lives. And nothing more evident than that obituary right there shared a few things that Matt Groening takes from to invent The Simpsons.
Hell yeah. I do enjoy that. And I do, actually, I want to say I remember this from years ago. I don't know if it was the full 11, but I feel like this is something that I may have seen at one point. I do like that. Tony, do you have any more stories?
No, I don't. Give us at least one last one.
Oh, of course. I do have the home run one that I could not pass up once I had seen it. As 18 individuals were treated for severe nausea in Stuttgart after an opera performance. Just wait. It gets so much better. 18 theatergoers at Stuttgart State Opera required medical treatment for severe nausea over the weekend after watching a performance that included live piercings, unsimulated sexual intercourse, and copious amounts of fake and real blood. On Saturday, we had 8, and on Sunday, we had 10 more people who had to be looked after by our visitor service, said the opera spokesperson Sebastian Ebling, about the 2 performances of Sancta, a work by the Austrian choreographer Florentina Holzinger. A doctor has been called in for the treatment in these 3 instances, he added. Holzinger, 38, is known for freewheeling performances that blur the line between dance, theater, and vaudeville. Her all-female cast typically performs partially or fully naked, and previous shows have included live sword swallowing, tattooing, masturbation, and action paintings with blood and fresh excrement. Good technique in dance to me is not just someone who can do a perfect tendu, but also someone who can urinate on cue, Holzinger told The Guardian in an interview earlier this year. Sancta, Holzinger's first foray into opera, premiered at the Mecklenburg State Theater in Schwerin in May and is based on Paul Hindemith's 1920s expressionist opera, Sancta Susanna, which has its own history of controversies. Hindemith's original opera tells the story of a young nun who, aroused by a tale told by one of the nunnery's older women, steps onto the altar naked and rips the loincloth from Christ's torso. An encounter with a large spider then leads her to repent her actions and begs the other nuns to wall her up alive. It was originally meant to premiere at Stuttgart State Opera in 1921, but was not put on stage until 1922 after protests against it allegedly sacrilegious content. The version that unsettled audience members in Stuttgart this year supplanted the original musical performances with naked nuns roller skating on movable half pipes at the center of the stage, a wall of crucified naked bodies, as well as a lesbian priest saying mass. After Holzinger brought Sancta to her native Vienna in June, bishops from Salzburg and Innsbruck criticized it as, quote, disrespectful. The Austrian artist has previously suggested that her opera was less designed to mock the church than explore parallels between the conservative institution on the one hand and kink communities and BDSM subcultures on the other. Ebling from the opera said, if you have questions, speak to the visitor service, and when in doubt during the performance, it might help to avert your gaze. Reports of medical treatment in the auditorium do not appear to have done Holzinger's Sancta any commercial harm, as all five remaining shows at the Stuttgart State Opera, as well as two more performances in Berlin's Volksbühne in November, have since sold out.
Yeah, the future sellouts are not surprising. There are people who like to watch this kind of stuff. I am not a big blood guy. And then the other thing I'd like to point out as well, to anybody that's thinking, oh, I want to go watch all these naked people. I got to bet, dollars to donuts, that these aren't the body shapes that you're hoping for on these naked people on stage.
Look, I mean, you might as well just say, like, naked people, sure. But what about excrement?
Yeah, I'm not down with that either.
Yeah, I mean, like, that to me is enough. I don't need to, or like, what a quote of, hey, look, you need to be able to do a plié, but you also need to be able to piss on cue. What? All right. That's interesting. I didn't realize that was going to fall into my choreographical like necessities.
Okay, now Gunther, every time you hit a chimes, you must pee. Let's practice.
I love your German Italian.
Yeah, thank you.
Gunther, every time you gotta hit the tie.
Hey, Gunther. Oh, Gunther.
Yeah, this has been another edition of the Oddity News on the Oddity News Network, thechairshotradio.com. If you have anything in the future, send it our way. We'll read it. I know I've said this for, like, I don't know, 15 episodes at this point, and no one's ever sent anything. But you know what? It's going to happen one day,
you guys,
and then you're all going to look foolish.
His feelings are getting hurt. Send him something.
No. Look, it's your choice, but just know that when it's Christmas time, I'm going to give you tickets to the Sancta Susanna Opera Theater in Stuttgart. You'll enjoy yourself with front row tickets.
The second the red recording light for this show goes off, he goes right into tears. He's very affected.
Make it stop. Make it stop. So send all your stories our way. And as always, we are going to be here each and every week, so long as one or both of us doesn't have COVID or the police being called. But as we always say here at the Oddity News, for PC Tunney, I'm Dave Wirtz. Let's keep that news ridiculous.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community. Capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People. AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.